Pin a little bit on my force and keep you awake. The beginning of how do you grow in grace? How do you get from point A to point B? That's what we're into now. The first thing, if you want to really begin to serve God and you want to be a Christian, the first thing you have to come to see is the seriousness of sin. If that's not so in your life, then you won't get started. Only the sick people will really want the doctor. And when we see the depth of our need, then we're ready to start business with God. Just a little bit ago, I read of two men. One was dying, and the other was there to comfort him. The problem was both of them were atheists. They didn't believe about God. And so the dying fellow was having a real hard go of it, and fears were rising up inside him. And the other man sought to strengthen him and comfort him and prepare him. And so the well fellow said to the sick man, be strong, my friend, now. Hold on. And the man opened his eyes and said, hold on to what? I can't help but believe that, and I didn't plan to say these things, but I can't help but believe that some of you are here and you've not gotten anything to hold on to. And if you were in the place, there's Doug riding his bike and now he's in the hospital. And if he were not in pretty good shape physically ahead of time, he would not be here in the land of the living. He'd be dead. Friend, take knowledge of the world you're living in, the life that's ahead of you, and make sure that you do know Jesus Christ. God is not in hiding. He's come to us, and he sent his Son into the world to be your Lord and Savior. Now, you may feel, well, I'm just not a religious person. Well, might be an asset to you if you're not fishing around with all kind of so-called religion. I'm talking about a person that God has actually come into our realm. He has come into this world. He lived as a human being on earth. And he died for our sin, and he's back in heaven now. And the second of these great lessons in edifications, these growth levels, is our identity with Jesus Christ. And then we're going to move on afterwards, that is really next Sunday, if the Lord wills it, and I'll be speaking on the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you the question. Since you believed in Christ, and some of you are here clearly saying that you are believers, since you believed, have you received the Holy Spirit? Do you know that? That question's in the Bible in Acts, I think, chapter 19. Well, we'll cover that next week. Then after that, we'll talk about our place in the church, how we are put together in Christ. And I just want to talk there more openly as your interim pastor. I don't know exactly all that word means, but we'll discover it together, I guess. Then next is spiritual warfare. That's got to come up. And finally, and we'll be covering this, we should be covering this all along, is really how to pray, how to talk with God, how to get on with him. And the older I get, the more frequently I notice, well, I'm just praying. I don't even think about it. I just keep praying. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. And then you've got to have those special times where you up your relationship with God by spending time alone, even fasting, but at least designating this hour is for God and me to fellowship together. I have a text now that'll launch us out, and I know it's late, and I'll do my best to keep you awake for just a few minutes anyway. Now, it's in 1 Corinthians 15, and it's verse 22. It's just a single brief sentence. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Very parallel there. In Adam, we all die. In Christ, we can live. That word "in" is very, very important. When I am, in fact, I am in my family head. There's no way I can avoid that. I didn't have a choice. I was born in a Burchett family. And to make sure of it, and I did this really, I went to my little lock box and I opened it up and found my birth certificate. And I put my finger on it and I said, well, there I am. And here I am, because I was there when that happened. This legal registry is an important thing. I was registered. My mom signed it. My dad vouched for it. And so I am in the Burchett family. And every now and then I try to look in the phone book and see if there's anybody else around with that name. You have a family line. But there's one thing you and I have in common. We have one father, Adam. We're all related in that sense. We go back to Adam. And this is where it all begins. I'm going to talk now about these two lines, in Adam or in Christ. We all begin with the same father, Adam. And it says, in Adam all die. This is passed on all of us. If you weren't related to Adam, you wouldn't have to worry about dying. But all of his family have followed after him. He's like a skier, a mountain climber. And he's got his family with him. They're all climbing a mountain. And then they're tied together. Daddy wanted to be sure that none of his kids slipped away. And then he fell and pulled the whole family with him. That's what has happened. Do you know something? If your daddy were really rich, and then he up and squandered all that money, and it was all in a will as a legacy for you, but the trouble is, he squandered it all, he wasted it. Then he died, and you come back and find the place padlocked, and you want to get in there. This big house belongs to you. You thought you were going to have all this money, but no, here's the slogan. When he lost it, you lost it. And when Adam went down, we all go down. Don't you stop in and reasoning about that, fighting it? That's the way reality is. And God has made it this way, that a parent represents their child. And everyone is born into a family. Now, when Jesus was born into a family through his mother, how come he didn't inherit guilt? How come he couldn't just be punished? Because he was not guilty. Your inheritance comes through the Father. But you ever stop and thought of it? That Joseph was not Jesus' real father. So the legal lineage stopped, and Jesus took it on himself. He didn't have to be punished. He took it on himself freely because he chose to come and die for our sin. You have two options according to this. In Adam we die. In Christ there's possibility of life. This death that drags all of us with it, that came to Adam, first came into his character. He died inwardly when he sinned. And his wife offered this temptation to him. He died in his character. We all experience that death. We're part of that too. Because the guilt is on us, then the punishment is ours. It's a blight in our character. And secondly, it's in our very physical makeup. We die physically. And there is another death waiting also for those who die apart from Jesus Christ. That's what that atheist fellow was dreading about, I mentioned earlier. Have you ever stopped and thought just what happened when Adam sinned? The scriptures tell us that he actually became ashamed of his nakedness, and he became aware of sin, and they became ashamed before God. They tried to withdraw and hide from God for the first time. And there's some of us here who are not real comfortable with God, right? Talking with God is a strain, a stretch. It's not our comfortable mode. That should say something to us, where we really are. And then next, Adam and Eve were driven out of the garden. And I don't know about you, but I've not lived in the present home where I am very long. It's Cheryl's place. Now it's my place too. But weeds just keep coming up. And it just makes me feel real bad to be indoors nursing a broken leg and she's out there weed whacking. But anyway, the weeds just keep coming. And it seems that it's a natural thing. So there was a garden of paradise that Adam and Eve had. But when sin came, they were sentenced to judgment and to death and to condemnation. And look, the little baby that was born to them outside the garden after they were driven out, his name was Abel. And the first innocent little child became a murderer. And their next baby born to them, grew up, and his older brother killed him. What a way to start, but that's the fruit of sin. And everyone afterwards, the families afterwards, we're all like our father. We are lost from God. And it shows up in the way we live, the way we treat each other. There's a reason for all the unreasonableness. And here it is, the sin that has come upon us. Now, I want to finish up with this other question. That's where we are. Well, how do we escape this lot, this condemnation, this serious condition we call sin, which makes us seem so hopeless? Well, I'll just imagine this for a minute. Suppose a young fellow, an adolescent, decides that he's had enough of his home. He doesn't like the lot he's gotten. He doesn't like his own temperament and the temperament of his mother and father. And he's just had enough. So he strikes out on his own. He decides to run away. And he goes over to another town. He arranges with a plastic surgeon to put him, give him a different look on his face, even get rid of his fingerprints. Then he decides to go on a diet, get a new physique, and he decides to strike out in a new way also, to live differently, take up things he didn't used to enjoy, do those things, change his whole life all the way around. But he still got a problem, and that is he is legally registered to a family. His legal dad is his father. A baby never decides, I won't be born in this family. Oh, then suppose the young man says, well, I'm going to overcome that. He picks out a nice home, looks good, looks like the people are happy in there. He goes and knocks on the door, and he tells them he'd like to move in. I want to be a part of your family. Could you tell me what room would you give me? Could I have a weekly little fee or something? Is there any kind of an inheritance that I might share in? You just can't do that. But people are trying to do it to Jesus. There probably are people sitting right here, and you've taken his name, Jesus Christ. You say you're a Christian, a Christian. Why do you call yourself a Christian? There's one way. Go back to our text. As in Adam, all die. So in Christ, all will be made alive. In Christ, you come into Christ, into this alignment, to where he becomes your family head. You come that way by believing. Believe in the Lord, and you will be saved. He will acknowledge you. He will respond to you if you give him your heart and life. That's what he died for, that it might be true with you. This is a matter of God's assignment. There's a legal registry, and one day the scripture tells us that books are going to be opened, and we're going to be privy to what God has done on those books. And in God's book, this is how he does it. Adam's sin is counted to each of his descendants. So when he sinned, it's counted that we sinned. Proof? You want proof? The wages, the penalty of sin is death. The result of it is death upon the one who falls. Adam sinned. Scripture declares, Romans 6:12, we all sinned with him. So the evidence is there, and God counts it upon all of us. It's upon us. Adam's sin is counted to me. When Adam lost paradise, we all lost it. None of us were born there. But the wonderful thing is that my sin can be counted to Christ. So when I move into Christ and I believe into him, then my sin is credited against him, and he dies in its penalty so that I can live. And Christ's righteousness then is counted to me. This is how God does it. Let's take one scripture and see how it is proven or set forth right there. Please turn to Isaiah 53. I don't know the connection between a broken leg and thirst, but there seems to be some. Because, boy, I just famish for water sometimes. Isaiah 53 at verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. This is it, see? God counts Jesus as guilty in my place. If I am in Christ, if he's my head, then he's taking it there for me. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What in the world was happening to Jesus? Read the story of the awful abuse that he took, spitting on him, smashing him in the head with sticks, cursing him, driving the spear in him after all the nails spiked him to the cross. And then read those words. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. My sin is what did that. And I must see that. And once I do, then I may truly repent. The scripture declares in our text, again, 1 Corinthians 15, 22. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. I want to bring one closing scene to your mind. That on the cross, you remember Christ's most pitiful cry was when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then you can answer it from God's own word. You can look at Jesus and read those scriptures to him we just read. Isaiah 53 at verse 5. I may say back to Jesus when he says, why, O Father? I can say, you were pierced for my transgressions. You, O Lord, are crushed for my sin. My punishment that brings me peace is now upon you. And with your wounds, Lord Jesus, I am healed. That's why I'd gone astray like a sheep in my own way. And now your Father and my Lord has laid on you my sin. And the Lord bowed his head and gave himself up to that. That's why he died. Christ takes my guilt, and the punishment of that is death. And then, as I enter into him, I believe into him, then he becomes my head, my new head, my family leader, and I am born again. That's what it means. It's not just being born again. It's not just taking on a new style. It's being registered in heaven in Christ's family. Have you been born again? Have you believed in Christ? Will you trust God's way and just tell God, I want Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior? And now I'd like to have a time where we together thank him for that. Let's sing together, and then we can have several of you pray and thank God that he has indeed saved you and brought you into his family. Thank God for what Jesus did. Let's try to sing together. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank